The Bible is given to us for us to read the story, focusing on how much God loves us. Now, you'll have people throughout your life letting you know how much they dislike you. Their actions will sometimes look as though they're anything but love. But in God's eyes, you and I are His children, and He loves us. He loves us when we're right, and He loves us when we're wrong. He says, I love you. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord, the scripture says, will be saved. And it's all in who we call. All the calls we make during the week. Did we ever stop to think about calling the Lord? Well, what's His number? J-E-S-U-S. Yeah, 911 a lot of times. You better believe it. You see, Jesus says, I love you. And Jesus loved me just like I was. He didn't say, Larry, you got to go out here and clean up your act before I extend to you my love. He said, I love you. I love you so much, I don't want you staying at the spot you are right now. But when you say yes to me, then I will be the one that will help you grow through my spirit. But I love you. I knew you before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb. I love you. And because I love you, I want you to prosper. And mankind has thought from generation to generation that God meant worldly wealth. Well, how do you know they thought that? Because they're still trying to achieve it without Christ. Folks, the wealth, the love that God wants to give us is eternal life. Tell me, what can buy that? What Jesus did on this final week of His human existence. Jesus Christ could have called a halt to everything time and time again. He didn't need to just wait till He got to the cross and He could have called down legions of angels to deliver Him. No. Folks, in the garden itself, when He was there, when He was sweating as great drops of blood, when He was in such agony, in His prayer time, He could have called it quits right then and right there. Here's what we forget. Jesus had to suffer. Listen to me. He had to suffer from the human standpoint. Every sin, every brokenness, every blasphemous word that all humanity would ever utter in sin towards God, He had to conquer it all in the physical body. Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. Please don't forget. People say, well, it was easy for Jesus to go through the suffering. Really? Would you like to try that? Would you like to go through the suffering that Jesus went through as 100% human being for all the sin of anyone who would ever exist, period? Now you talk about having your plate full. Folks, we can barely handle life within our own realm, much less taking on the sins of others. Yet there's a story. The whole scripture, the whole word of God tells a story. Well, what does it tell? It tells about God's love, how much He loves, and tells about our guilt and how guilty we truly are. And God says, when you look to proclaim my word, make sure, preachers, you proclaim it to yourself. Pay attention to the stories God has given us. For I find my life in so many of those stories. You always want to look in your life like, you're the good guy coming in. And yet, when God shows us the truth of our life, well, Lord, I just don't think I really want to see that part. You know, I've seen a rerun of my life before, and I love reruns. Anybody who knows me knows that. You know why I love reruns? Because I don't have to think. Sometimes I just want to sit and stare and not have to think. That's why, again, I read the end chapter of every book. And then you know what I've discovered also in doing that? I always have told you that I will do that to see how good the book is, how it ends, as to whether or not I want to go back and read it. I have noticed if I start with the last chapter, I can figure the rest of it out anyway. So I can fly right through those books with the last chapter. Oh, try that. It's called the Book of Revelation in the Holy Bible. It's unveiled. It's not something that's dark. It's unveiled. It's the unveiling. It's to reveal Christ and His true spirit within our hearts. And the Lord says, tell my story. You and I can tell the story of our own individual life. Do we not understand that that individual life you and I have happens to be the story of Christ? Come on, stick with me here. Do we not understand if He died for my individual story, then my individual story of life means something to Him? And if it means something to Him, it should mean something to us. It should mean that we can look at our life and we see our faults, we see our failures. But do we see our striving to follow Christ so that He will take care of the frailty of our existence? I mean, folks, we love to sin. Now, we hate the feeling afterwards, but the human nature desires to sin. And Christ said, I know what's hurting you. So you listen to this story. It's the final week of Jesus in the physical body. The final week, and Jesus knows it. See, Jesus already knows what's going to happen because God loves us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. His love, His gift to you and His gift to me. Wonder how God feels when you and I reject His gift of a true story. We keep saying in our own generation, I'm so tired of all of these lies. Well, folks, let me tell you that all the lies that we hear are not just focused from Washington, D.C. Many times they are focused from the pulpits throughout America. There is one way. His name is Jesus. There is no other. And Jesus says, here's what I have done for you. A last week for Jesus is flesh and blood. That's what had to go on. Because the physical man cannot enter heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. People say, why do the good have to die? Because they're good. Because they're blessed. Death to the Christian folks is not a punishment. It's a gift. It's a gift of joy. It's a gift of peace. It's a praise the Lord time type of peace. Because when Christ went to that cross, death ceased to have authority over his children. It's not there. Death has no authority. Why? Because you can't die. That body is going to be out of here pretty soon. Mine too. But folks, you're going to have to put up with Larry Pete Vance throughout eternity. You might as well start loving me right now. As hard as it is to do. You see, that's what Christ did for us. He died. And in his death, he conquered our sins. He paid our debt. And he says there had to be a beginning. And that beginning was that final week as flesh and blood that Jesus would be walking back to Jerusalem. Because God's love, he sent his son as flesh and blood to experience and die for our sins. Let me read it. Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. That's why he came. I was lost. You were lost. Our forefathers and mothers were all lost. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted. Every temptation that you, I, or anyone else has ever had, Jesus had them. As we are, all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. It is not a sin to be tempted, folks. You cannot keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep that bird from building a nest in your hair. Or even on the slick surfaces. You can do that. Romans 5:6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, okay, let me go back to that first part. Romans 5:6. For when we were, past tense, are you getting this? For when we were still without strength. That means when I said yes to Jesus, the strength of Christ indwells us, each one, each Christian, each individual. And God said that it's through my power that I conquered life for you. It is in my power that I conquered death because of you. And I love you just the same. Because God loved us, Jesus shared in man's humanity. Hebrews 2:14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. Now, for all of you that are saying the devil made me do it, I want you to listen to me again as I read this. Since the children have flesh and blood, that's us, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. He destroyed the power of Christ. It's past tense. Jude says, the devil made me do it. We go out and do it because we're honoring and love sin. It ain't the devil. He can take a vacation the next 50 years and we'll still sin. As a matter of fact, while you're reading the last chapter of that book, notice what happens at the end of a 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. During that 1,000 years, people are preached to and taught and Christ himself sits on the throne of David. And at the end of the 1,000 years, the scripture says Satan is unchanged. And when Satan comes back, he makes up a whole army of human beings to go against Christ. So, he's been chained for 1,000 years. You and I are geared, because of our human condition, to sin. Christ died to help us shift gears. I live in the love of Christ. I do not live in the bitterness of my own sin. Satan has no authority any longer. Well, how come he tricks us? Because we give him that authority. I still have the free will, just like you do. But I choose the will of God. During the week sometimes, do I not choose the will of God? Sure. Lord, please, can't we talk about the idea of getting rid of all child molesters? Why do we have evil? That's a question to ask God. I know the answer to evil is Christ. The why? Too far above me, as most of it is. But one thing I can tell you from a heart that loves you, God was ready and he conquered death for you and me. That's why we will never die. Well, yes, but she was such a good woman. And the Lord just took her. Why didn't the Lord take the bad one? Maybe he's waiting for the bad one to get saved. And maybe the death of the good one will be just that push. The death in his body for the Christian is an exciting time. Because death came through the man Adam, life would have to come through the man Christ Jesus. But only because God loves us. 1 Corinthians 15:21-22. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, Adam the firstborn, created by God, so in Christ all will be made alive. You and I had nothing to do with the original sin. We weren't here. But I can tell you something. Had we been, we would have been right in the middle of the sinning part. That's the human nature. And Christ says, let me give you the spiritual nature. You know my human nature is only going to last as long as I'm in a human body. I don't even need my senses. And a lot of times I lose them anyway. Think of it. It's all brand new. It will be a continual new pleasant, positive experience every second throughout eternity, where time doesn't exist. So how do you explain it? I'm grateful that I can't explain it. If I could explain it, it wouldn't be real. It wouldn't be heaven. It's the home of God. I've been invited to come, but I'm not there yet, but he is already here, right? That's what Christianity is. 1 Corinthians 15:21, that tells us that story, also leads us to let us know something else. God says this story is a story that you need to truly remember for your own life, because there's a lot of failure in this story. That final week, he's walking in. And as he walks in, he notices something. He looks at the city. Well, let me see. Because God loves us, the Son of the Most High God paused as he drew near to Jerusalem. And he wept. he paused and he wept. Now listen to what he said in Luke 19, 41, 42. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Were his tears because of those who would not believe? Were his tears because of his disciples knowing what's going to take place on that Thursday? What were the tears for? All of the above. All that you can think of. For he says, you still hold on to that pain. And here I am at your heart's door to deliver you from it. Open your eyes and believe how much I care. Jesus entered Jerusalem for all the right reasons. This is the end of the story for that week. But many who came out to see him, they came for the wrong reason. Happens in churches all the time. People don't always come to church for the right reason. The people came out, as Randy was telling you, they had the palm branches. They had it all to lay in front with their cloaks and all to honor. Yet Jesus had just wept due to the dishonor. Listen to what Jesus knew. John 12, 12 and 13. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and they went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, which is save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. John 12, 17, 18. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead, they bore witness. This is he who did that, yes. For this reason, now listen to me. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. Jesus is to say later on, you followed me and you're here because I fed you the last time I was with you. The wrong reason. We're here because we want to see the man that so many of the people said raised the dead. We just want to be in his presence. But we want to be there for the wrong reason. Jesus is the true rock star. But he became a rock star because his father moved the rock. His father sent him to show faith in the rock. My faith is in Jesus Christ, not in a man. My faith is in the Creator, not in things that have been created. And the Lord says, this is my story. But get it across. Why did you come to my house and in my presence? What's the reason? One thing I've learned over the years and through his word, I might start out in a situation with the wrong reason, the wrong purpose that I would say. But as the Lord takes hold of the heart, touches the spirit, the power of the blood of our Savior can reverse all the hate, all the bitterness, all the pain, can reverse it and peace be found. As long as you harbor in your heart that hurt and pain, you will not find peace. Peace is found in Christ. And Christ is not where there is hatred and bitterness. He doesn't dwell there. He will come there and he will offer deliverance, but he will not dwell where there is hatred and bitterness. To destroy the human race, the Lord said, I would that everyone would be saved. And as his son looked at us, his son wept. And as he wept, each tear told a story of your life and my life. Jesus read our tears. He still does. You know what the difference is now for us? He already conquered Satan. He already conquered death. Death can have no power. The grave cannot have a sting, because I'm not going to be there. Neither are you. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, and he said, I paid it all, it's exactly what he did. He paid it all. It was a payment that looked at our life and it said, paid in full. Enter heaven. Paid in full. Sealed with a drop of blood. Oh, a drop of Jesus' blood stretches throughout eternity. And that peace that we will receive, you'll never be able to explain. People around you will never understand why you're laughing in the process of leaving the body. He lost his mind. She lost her mind. Yes, they lost that human mind because they had to take on the mind of Christ. And the Lord would say, so let it be written. So let it be done. That means amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings and the joy of salvation, for your love. Once again, Father, for the mercy that we have through your love, that we can even stand and be in the presence of the power of your love. We praise your name, Father, above all names, and ask now that we search through our heart and we follow the direction which you're leading us to. And Father, that we truly do follow your Son just because he loves us so much. We ask the blessing now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.